listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Our series, Meet the Council of Presidents, takes us to the Michigan District today to meet President Davis. Sarah's happy we're going to Michigan.
I'm so happy we're going to Michigan. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Chicago. You can learn more about Concordia University Chicago by visiting cuchicago.edu.
Our guest today, the Reverend David Davis. He serves as president of the Michigan District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Davis, thanks for joining us on The Coffee Hour.
It's good to be with you. Looking forward to some conversation. We'll see how it goes.
We are looking forward to our conversation as well today. This has been a fun series, and we enjoy getting to know all the district presidents and vice presidents. And one way we get to do that is with the lightning round. Are you ready for the lightning round? It's a bunch of questions about your favorite things.
All right, let's do it.
All right, let's start off with favorite color.
Favorite color. I'm a University of Michigan fan, celebrating a victory not too awfully long ago, but my favorite color is green.
All right, we'll take it. I'm glad that you clarified why.
I just
Michigan
like it.
Michigan State's color is green, so for those Michigan listeners, that's why. Favorite cuisine?
Maybe barbecue, or maybe like it says in the Bible, to eat whatever's put in front of you. So I'm pretty much whatever is there, I'm ready to go.
You'd be very good friends with Andy, who also eats that way.
I like to eat a lot of things. I'm a little limited these days, but I like just about anything. All right, Pastor, favorite book, and we know you love the Bible. We know you love the Lutheran Confessions. We can go with that, but add to that list.
All right. I'm going to give you two real quick. My favorite book title of all time is It Takes So Little to Be Above Average. And I live by that motto. It's about 20 years old. The other book title I like, and the book is good too, interestingly, a theologian, Miss Manners Saves Western Civilization.
Oh.
And she talks about how manners instead of laws are what really powers Western civilization. Interesting.
That sounds very interesting. I need to know more about that one, but that is not for right now. Favorite office supply? Very important question.
Favorite office supply, like item? I mean,
anything in your office.
Sticky notes. How's okay. that?
Perfect.
Multicolored. I don't like the same color. Multicolored.
Fabulous.
That's an important detail.
Yes.
All right. Speaking of details, favorite dessert. And I feel there's going to be a detailed answer. Well, I don't know. Food was pretty broad. So favorite dessert.
Favorite dessert, clearly, absolutely, creme brulee. Oh. Every chance my wife and I can split one at a restaurant, we do. She's gracious enough to give me the larger half. Oh, at least I take it.
Favorite vacation destination?
Favorite destination. Sarah would understand this being from Michigan. Any lake up north Michigan on a beach with a sand pail, I say that's my bucket list. A sand pail on a beach in northern Michigan.
Perfect. A plus.
Now, there are a lot of those. Let's go with this one. Jerusalem the Golden.
Ooh, that is a beautiful one. All right, last one. Favorite time of day?
How about just after the work is done and we're sitting and having a little relaxation and maybe a little something to sip on. It's just a nice time to chill. My wife and I love to do that. We have what we call our Bartles and James chair out front on our front porch, and maybe we have a glass of wine or a beer or something, and we just chill and talk.
So happy hour at Casa Davis.
I like it.
There
that sounds
go.
Fun.
Pastor, tell us about where you grew up.
I have not strayed very far. Both my wife and I grew up in Michigan, grew up in a town called Grand Blanc, up near Flint. And we were at the same church, same school, not necessarily sweethearts or anything like that. But we both grew up in Michigan, haven't strayed. I don't know if people know the motto for the state of Michigan. If you seek a pleasant peninsula, look around you. And I like to say Michigan is not spectacular like other places in the country, but it sure is pleasant. And so we both grew up here, stayed here. I've been a pastor in the district 40-some years, haven't strayed far.
It is a pleasant place to be, that is for sure. Tell us about your journey from childhood through your years of schooling, the path that eventually led to you attending seminary.
I always say I was that kid that got dropped off for Sunday school. My parents weren't anti-church, but they weren't heavily involved. I was dropped off for Sunday school. My sisters and I went. We had a terrific youth director that got me even more involved and engaged. And it was he who first said to me, "You should think about being a pastor." And my reaction was, "That is far too religious for me." So I went a different direction. I thought I'd go off and become a music teacher, play the tuba. I went off to a state school for a little bit. I was there for a semester and figured out finally I was probably having too much fun and acting about as lost as my buddies were, and I wasn't lost. So it was then that I decided to go down to Concordia in Ann Arbor. I had no real idea what it meant to be a pastor, and my plan was to take it semester by semester, and if God let me through one semester into another, I'd just keep going. And over time, I ended up going all the way through, became a pastor. People ask me sometimes, "When did you know you wanted to be a pastor?" And I've come to say about 15 years into it. For the first decade and a half, I thought there's got to be something else to do. But over time, it just continued to be the thing that clearly has been God's calling on my life.
Let's talk a little bit about the seminary formation. What are some of your greatest memories from your time at seminary?
I chose St. Louis Seminary because of the architecture. It looks like the University of Michigan Law Quad. And I thought, if I'm going to this seminary, I want to go to someplace that looks like it. And I lived on campus the first year. I was single. Some of my buddies from Concordia Ann Arbor were there. We had great relationships and connections. And then my wife and I got married. She came down. And to be part of the community was a great thing. We have friends that have lasted a lifetime now because of that. I always felt a little catching up on the theology part and wondered really what all this Lutheran stuff was. And it took a while for it to become clearer and clearer to me. And great professors, Dr. G, Dr. Hummel, if I don't mention others, I don't want to denigrate them. But great faculty down there. I know on the list there's some question about favorite class. And my favorite class perhaps was church polity. Oh. To think about the bureaucracy, the handbook, and how things were going to be organized. I always found that more interesting than it ought to have been.
It is a good thing that we have people in leadership in our Synod who really appreciate those kinds of things. That speaks very well of your leadership. What is it about, the workings behind all the things that happen in Synod that is interesting to you? I'm just curious.
I do think it's the organization and the structure. I read this somewhere. If you're having problems with an organization, it's not a people problem, because people are people. Wherever you go, you're going to have some little higher, lower, whatever, people are people. But if you're running into an organizational problem, it's your systems that are out of whack, that how it's organized, how it's put together, there's something that isn't aligning with the real mission. And I think what often happens is you get sidetracked into the bureaucracy and the structure, and you lose sight of the purpose of all of that. And you need the organization, you need the bureaucracy, but it must always serve an end and not be an end in itself. And to think through that, what works, what doesn't work, is oddly of interest to me.
I think that's a very good thing. Tell us about your years after seminary, between graduating from seminary and leading to being a district president of the Michigan District.
I've served always in the Michigan District. I've served four different congregations. The first one was St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Spring Lake over by Grand Haven. If Sarah remembers that part of the state, it's just beautiful there on Lake Michigan. Nothing like it on a summer Sunday afternoon. I was there for 10 years. And if anybody knows that area, you can understand why my wife is still a little upset that we're not still there. I went from Spring Lake to Downriver Detroit in St. Paul in Trenton. It's a whole other side of the state, whole different part of the world. Was there as an associate for 4 years and very formative there about learning about what it is to be in a team ministry. After that, I went 5 years to Emmanuel Lutheran Church in downtown Grand Rapids, a fascinating ministry. There's nothing like a downtown ministry. Downtown ministry, I learned, is different from urban ministry. And the congregation I was at there was indeed a downtown. What happens downtown? You have the finest hospitals, the finest entertainment. You have diverse communities. I always thought the ministry there was like a Rubik's Cube. And to try and figure out how to make this match and that match was just a fascinating ministry. Then I spent 19 years in Hazlitt, which is one of those where is that sort of places in Michigan. It's over by East Lansing. Was there for 19 years. It was a lot like when I got there, a lot like my first congregation. And I was a little reluctant, actually, to take that call. I thought, I don't know that that's for me. It's a where's that sort of place. My mentor, Pastor Toshio Okamoto, thought it was a good match. My wife thought it was a good match. And it really was a spectacular opportunity. I had all kinds of interesting people that were members of the congregations, faculty members at Michigan State, medical doctors for downtown Lansing. We had federal judges, and I always thought it was like having a bunch of thoroughbred horses. And I clearly was never going to be the smartest guy in the room, but I thought if I could keep everyone pulling in the same direction, that would be good. And by God's grace, it really developed. We were able to get involved into city ministry, a downtown congregation. We became a multi-site, and it became multicultural. We had different immigrant populations, and it was 19 spectacular years there of ministry. After that, I actually had stepped aside. I retired. I thought it was time for my associate to take over. He's a smart guy. And I thought, well, crud, what happens if it's time for him to take over and I don't have anything else to do? So I stepped aside and retired earlier than I expected. And then as God would have it, it was after that I actually got elected to being district president.
And tell us about your role as district president for the Michigan District. What do you get to do every day?
All kinds of things. Lots of meetings, lots of phone calls. I think a thing that's different in this work compared to being a pastor, there's more of it that's showing up and being there than preparation. As a pastor, you're always preparing sermons, you're always preparing Bible study. So there's a lot of preparation. But as district president, not that I don't prepare for stuff, but a lot of it is just being present, being at meetings, being with people, being engaged. I work hard at building relationships across the district. I think that's a high-level priority. I like to say, because the Bible says it, but I like to say eyes on Jesus. And I call all of our pastors. We have district facilitators and circuit visitors that visit with pastors and congregations. And through it all, we want to learn to love one another, care for one another. We're in this together. And we want to keep our eyes on Jesus, trust in Him, and be a blessing to our communities.
We have more to talk about with Reverend Dave Davis, president of the Michigan District of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, in just a minute. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. I'm thrilled to announce the Prepared to Serve Church Professional Guarantee. Any new student in one of CUC's 6 church work programs will pay no more than $5,000 in annual tuition and required fees guaranteed. Prepared to Serve is a donor-funded initiative. Support future ChurchWork students by becoming a funding partner at cuchicago.edu/preparedtoserve. Concordia University Chicago. With Christ at the center, we stand tall for the church.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with the Reverend Dave Davis, president of the Michigan District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And let's talk a little bit more about the Michigan District. What does, obviously, the state of Michigan, but tell us about the state of Michigan, the Michigan District. What does it actually consist of?
The Michigan District geographically consists of the Lower Peninsula and a third of the Upper Peninsula. I'm not sure why we don't have the other two-thirds of the Upper Peninsula. Maybe we'll go after the Northern Wisconsin District and see if we can cut a deal sometime. We are one of the largest districts in the Synod, along with Texas. We have about 340 or just under 340 congregations. We have over 120 schools, preschools, early childhood development schools, centers. We have four different high schools. Let me double check that. One, two, three, four, five different high schools in the district. We have a district staff that is very comprehensive. We have director of mission development. We have director of leadership development. We're just replacing that position. Those are kind of the key programmatic leaders in our district, but we have a very comprehensive communication team. We put out weekly emails and all kinds of videos and Michigan in Touch. We have a financial office that helps congregations if they've got questions about treasures or constitutions and those kinds of things. And we have a development officer that works with congregations to help them be engaged financially in what's going on. Our school superintendent's probably the busiest guy on the district staff, going out visiting. Travis Grolke does a great job. And then my staff in the office, my executive assistant, Lori Brown, and Martha and the others just do a great job connecting. I always want to make it that if a church has a question, they only have to make one phone call and we'll get the right answer to them, even if we have to have somebody get back with them. We really want to be here to support local congregation, local ministries. We're here for them. They're not here for us. And we want to build good cohesion. Maybe another key part of our staff would be our district facilitators. We have three of them. Their only job is to call on pastors and congregations and see how we can help, where their needs are. We do a lot of networking. I've told my district facilitators they don't have to be experts at anything, but that they can say to people, I don't know, but I know a guy. And so we have a list of strategic partners that our district facilitators can put our congregations and workers in touch with them to make connection. Another great part of our district would be our circuit visitors. We have, I think it's 41 circuit visitors, and they lead the Winkles. We have a very robust Winkle system across the district, and they also work with call lists and other conflicts that come up. Not that we have many conflicts in the Michigan district. It's a peaceful place, but here and there, they step in and help.
Is there anything you would describe as unique about the Michigan district?
I think the collegiality and the sense of unit, I don't quite want to use the word identity, but kind of the identity of the Michigan district that we've been around a long time. We have large historic congregations and we have robust staffing. And I don't mean this in a bad way. This is not a bad way. We're pretty self-contained. We have our own church extension fund. And they really support congregations and ministries and workers. And again, we're not an entity unto ourselves, but we really have a lot of self-sufficiency within the district. And I think once people get into the district and the sorts of services and collegiality we have, make people want to stay put. I think also we've always had a strong sense of mission in the district. The first founders of our district were people that came from Germany to do mission work among Native Americans, and that's been our heritage right along. We continue to focus on, of late we've been especially focusing on immigrant ministry, ethnic ministry, college ministry, campus ministry. So the mission background and the mission heritage would be a big part of our district. I'm sure that's true of all districts, but certainly we think about ourselves that way.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of history across the Michigan district from immigrants, for sure. What brings you joy about being in this type of leadership position? You know, it's not always easy to be in this type of position, having oversight over things, with things, having to deal with things in a different way than other pastors or other leaders maybe need to. What brings you joy, though, about being able to visit with everyone, of being in this structure that supports the congregations of the Michigan district?
I think two main things as far as what do I enjoy. One of the things I enjoy, I get to give my opinion. And and I'm like a Missouri Synod pastor. I've got opinions about everything. And so to be able to be asked for my opinions and to have that kind of influence, I read somewhere, the voice of a leader echoes. And so I try to use my voice to be positive. We live in a time of maybe some decline in the church. But around the Michigan district, I say, we're not going to wring our hands. We're going to focus on Jesus, and we're going to love one another, and we're going to love our community. And so to be able to speak into the situation within the district, to be able to give my opinions, like at the Council of Presidents, to be able to, I said this in our district convention, people take my phone call. And so if I have something on my mind and I want to talk to somebody, they take my phone call and I can hopefully constructively say, hey, have you thought about this? What about that? I'm seeing this. So all kidding aside, I like to be able to give my opinion. And the second thing that goes with that, which is related, I really like the networking. I've been in the district for 40 some years and I know quite a few people within the district. And now I know more people outside of the district. And so I'm able to say, hey, well, you need to talk to this guy, or this lady ought to connect with that person. And to be able to network among the people has been an interesting thing. I like doing that.
Why are you a pastor in the LCMS today?
Why am I a pastor in the LCMS? I believe I'm called to do that. I think it's what I need to be doing. So it's obedient to God. I think it's a good place to serve. I think our theological background is solid. I think our heritage is solid. I have some concerns sometimes about how we relate to one another and how we connect with one another. But I think this is the right place to be serving. I have to say, I guess this is going to be on the air. I'm not always that focused on the Lutheran part of it. I like to say that I am Lutheran because it's Christian, and that my accent is, I am a Christian pastor. I think our church body's right on doctrine and theology, and so I'm glad about that. But I probably don't accent so much the Lutheran part of it, but rather I'm Lutheran and a Lutheran pastor because it's Christian. I like to say I don't have a Lutheran view of baptism. I might get kicked out here. I don't have a Lutheran view of baptism. I have a Christian view of baptism. The only views I want to have are the biblical Christian views. Somehow in there's a point.
Before we run out of time, we're going to circle back.
I may have just run out of time, by the way. Go ahead.
Oh, no, we have more questions. I want to circle back to the lightning round. I did say I wanted to know more about your favorite books, and now is the time to know more about your favorite books. Those two titles are very, very curious to me. So pick one. I don't care which one, but unpack one of those books for us because they both sound very interesting.
Yeah. Let me go with it. It takes so little to be above average.
Yeah.
I think we do a lot of striving to be better than, right now I'm working through a book about competition. And it says the focus on being better than is harmful to us, and that life isn't and shouldn't be a competition. It should be about, so to speak, be the best you can be with the gifts and abilities that you have. And so I always liked the book, It Takes a Little to Be Above Average, that I don't need to be the best in the world at anything. I want to steward well the gifts I have, the abilities I have to serve Jesus, to serve his people. And I always told my kids growing up, wherever you go, there's someone better than you and someone lesser than you. Just make sure you're stewarding well the gifts that you have in a way that keeps track of keeping track of the idea that the other people you're working with are really people, and to acknowledge the humanity of the other person, which is what the other book about manners is about, that I use my napkin, I use my fork and knife in a way that is, this is just a silly example of the book, in a way that acknowledges the humanity of the person across from me, that I wipe my mouth, I'm careful about how I use my utensils, because there's another human being whose life is impacted sitting across from me. Now, that's just one example of manners, but it's all about like holding a door open for somebody. That's acknowledging the humanity, saying please and thank you. Anyways, something about those books.
I think how we act in those little things reflects also how we care about the bigger things as mm-hmm. well when it comes to our neighbor and how we care about them.
Yeah, and with that, real quick, that's all about living a life of grace and not of law. It's about living a life of love for the other person, not that someone says the fork must sit here.
Yeah.
Great point.
Yeah.
Now, in the lightning round, you mentioned Jerusalem the Golden being one of your favorite hymns. And I want to point out that one of our favorite resources out of the Michigan District is thehymnalproject.com. We have loved using the resources there at thehymnalproject.com. There's some great recordings of hymns there as well.
It's all over our social media.
Yes.
Yeah. So
nice.
If you see any social media posts from KFUO with music in them,
it's probably that.
It's probably thehymnalproject.com. Yep. So a great resource out of the Michigan District. We love it. Thanks for providing that to us.
And don't forget, we also have Steve Starkey, mm-hmm. who has been
yes.
just a great blessing to the church with his hymn writing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our guest today, the Reverend David Davis, he serves as president of the Michigan District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Davis, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. God bless the work that you do, and may God bless our church body, that the kingdom would continue to come in us and through us.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.